following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Doug and Danny show rolls on live from Cunningham's. It's a two-hour, basically, long Loper Link segment today as it's the first Loper football luncheon here at Cunningham's. Talk about signing day. We're going to get to talk to the coordinators, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. Right now we're going to talk to the man in charge, Daryl Morris. We know it's an exciting day on campus. A lot of things are going on for home events over the next few days, but this is the biggest day of the year for you and your coaching staff. You get to see how all the work panned out, and it looks like you're pretty happy.
We are happy. This is a very, very solid class for us again. This will be our third recruiting class that we feel good about as we've entered the MIAA. I feel like we have met the needs that we knew that we needed to get taken care of. We've taken steps to do that, and there's some very good football players on this list.
Daryl, how would you kind of characterize who you got there? What's kind
well,
of
you know, it's guys that have speed, and that's one thing that you need to have in the MIAA. You have to be able to run on both sides of the ball. So that was a criteria that when we went to look at people, that they had to be able to run. They had to be able to separate themselves. They had to be able to play in space. And, then of course, you know, they had to have size. So we're looking for taller guys in the secondary. We're looking for taller guys at the wide receiver spot. We need a pass rush. We felt like we've gotten some guys that could come in. One of the things that we did talk about is that we needed to change. We needed some game changers. So as you look at our list of recruits, we have a lot more transfer-type guys than what we've ever had in the past. But that was a need that we felt like we had, that we needed to come in and change the game. We needed some guys that could rush the passer. We needed some guys that could run down the field vertically and challenge people in their secondary. So we feel like we've been able to do that.
Well, this is a great event here. I've seen a few of your ex-Lopers come in here, like Tyler McNitt and Charlie Rudine. Is everybody you recruited better than them? Because that's what I want to know, where we're going in the MIAA.
Those two guys right there, you know, that's when we were scraping the bottom of the barrel and all we could offer you to come to school here was a Coke. So, you know.
It worked out. Give us a couple of names. I know there's some more I want to talk about with the coordinators, but you hit Omaha pretty hard, and I guess we can ask you if that's related to UNO a little bit. Are you starting to get some more kids?
Well,
and I know
you
like Omaha,
Coach,
but you also went to Arizona. You went to some other places. I just think there's some good diversity.
Well, there is a lot of diversity, and geographically it's a very diverse class, and we have looked, and I've told you this before and everybody, that the internet has shrunk the planet. And, you know, to get 100 videos a day is not uncommon during the recruiting process. So we have kids, you know, everywhere from Arizona, California, Alaska, Florida, and everywhere in between. New York, I mean, everywhere. So, you know, we went to wherever we had to go to find the kids that met the physical criteria and the academic criteria that we felt like we needed to be successful in the MIAA.
And then you have that pipeline to at Burke at the moment. You know, talk a little bit about some of those guys and kind of how that kind of works.
Well,
it seems like there's kind of an ebb and flow where there's some schools.
Well,
that
it
really
actually
it
worked out better when I turned over Burke to Coach Crocker and I got out of there, you know. So, but Coach Lamangi's doing a good job with his football program there at Burke, and Coach has done a nice job. Kids are your best recruiters. So once you get one or two kids from a specific program into your program, and they're having a positive experience, they do the best job of anybody of selling your program. So I think that's part of the Burke situation that we have going right now. And, you know, I think Logan Geyer is going to be a good football player. Rodney Williams is a good football player. And a couple of those other kids are going to help us out, can come in and contribute.
Daryl Morris with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're live at Cunningham's until 1 o'clock. It is National Letter of Intent signing day for everyone, including the Lopers. And, Daryl, where have you seen, because we keep asking you this question too, where have you seen some of the avenues open up? Where are you getting recruits that you haven't gotten them before?
Well, I think, you know, Coach Siegel, who has high school head coaching ties in the state of Florida, has done a tremendous job the last couple of years since he got on our staff. If you just look at this class, and I haven't counted them, but there's got to be 8 to 10 guys from Florida which obviously most people equate that with a state with speed. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are trying to go to get some kids that aren't getting recruited by everybody and their brother in the MIAA, but still are getting some traffic that way. D2 football is starting to infiltrate the state of Florida in terms of some schools starting up programs. But if those kids aren't Division I players, then they have to leave the state of Florida for the most part. So, you know, he's done a tremendous job opening up those avenues because he knows high school coaches there. He can trust their recommendations, and we know we're getting a legitimate prospect when we recruit somebody from that state right now.
Who are some of the kids that you specifically targeted because you need them to play this fall for you?
Well, when we hired Coach Miller to be our wide receiver coach, you know, one of the reasons we gave him the job is because he had a first-team All-American wide receiver playing for him at Mesa College, Cody Saul. And Cody Saul will be a game-changer in the MIAA. He will give anybody and everybody's secondary some issues. So, you know, you go after guys like that. He also brought in Omar Rodriguez, who's a hybrid tight end type guy. If you think about it, you can get Luke McNitt and you can get Omar Rodgers and you can start out in a two tight end set and either run the football or throw the football, which defenses hate, or you can then go from two tight ends to four wide receivers or four wide receivers back to two tight ends and create all kinds of personnel issues for people offensively. So, you know, that connection has benefited. Luke Quinn, who's a good running back that we got out of Scottsdale, Arizona, as a true freshman, is somebody that Coach knew about prior to coming to UNK. So, you know, we were struggling to find a running back, another running back that we really had a lot of interest in. And his knowledge of Arizona and his recruiting ties in Arizona helped us get Luke Quinn in here. So, you know, you have to have guys that have some relationships with people throughout the country. And it really is. Recruiting is a relationship business. You have to be able to go into schools where there's high school coaches that when they tell you the kid's a player, you can just about take it to the bank. He's a player. Or they'll tell you, Coach, you don't really want that guy. He's not. I know what kind of program you have, and he's not what you want.
Has your footprint changed at all? It seems when you're in the RMAC, we got more players from Colorado. Has that footprint changed, and are you still building those relationships in that new area where you're recruiting?
Well, again, you know, our need for speed has forced us to look elsewhere and go to states where kids are outside a little bit more and that just have the history of being where you find speed, and Florida is one of them. You know, California is another one. Arizona is another one. And so, you know, our footprint probably is changing because of the MIAA and because of, I mean, let's be honest, man. You know, the if you look at the RMAC compared to the MIAA, here's how it comes down. You know, Minnesota Duluth comes out of the Northern Sun and plays University of Colorado Pueblo, who was the undefeated RMAC champion. Duluth beats them 38-34 in a pretty good football game in Pueblo. The next week, Duluth plays Northwest Missouri, and it's 31-0 in the second quarter. That's the difference. Pittsburgh State gets beat by Missouri Southern the last game of our conference season, goes up and plays a Northern Sun third-place team in a bowl game, and it's 90-14. That's the difference. So our footprint has been forced to change. Our recruiting philosophy has evolutionized, but just changed the way we have gone about recruiting, and that is kids that have been to other places, four-year schools, junior college guys, and still high school kids.
Another minute here with Loper football coach Daryl Morris on signing day. Again, there will always be a few more kids trickle down as we talk about every year. We'll hear some more kids that, hey, I thought I was going to go here. That didn't happen. I want to come to UNK. I noticed, and that's it's okay, we always talk about the backyard kids that we have here. Jake Bartling from Elm Creek has signed today. You've got a Lundgren coming in, a back to Kearney, I guess we should say. You've got Brendan Wentling. You want a good kicker. You think you got a good one there out of Grand Island. And a couple kids from Holdridge. But there's not a ton right now that are on this list. But you do have two or three area kids that look like they're going to make an impact.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we do think there's some good kids from our backyard here. Cody Carlson, you know, from Stanton, Nebraska, I think he's going to be a good football player. He's going to be a big kid. So we've got a sprinkle of kids. You know, Brian Sunblade made a lot of tackles at Holdridge. And so we've got some kids from our backyard. And you'd have to recruit those kids. You need to do that. But in the league that we're playing in right now, we can't find enough players with enough speed just locally to be able to be competitive in the MIAA. So we have to go elsewhere. And then also you can't always meet the needs that you have in the high school ranks. And we've always done it that way. But to our credit, in my opinion, we are changing and evolving our recruiting efforts in the way we go about business. And we're trying to sprinkle in some guys that can actually come in the game and help us win games quickly.
Obviously, you go best athlete available, but is there kind of an element you kind of wish, boy, I wish there was more linebackers, more safeties, more whatever?
Well, I mean, you always go into a recruiting cycle and, okay, what do we need? What are our needs? And that's that, and we've talked about this before, too. Recruiting is based on your need. There were some very good football players from locally, perhaps, that didn't necessarily fit a need that we have. And if you're not recruiting to your needs, then you're going to struggle when you get into ball games. So we recruited to the needs that we have. Some of them were from far away. Some of them we feel like are guys that can come in and play right away. And some of them are going to be developmental guys. So, you know, you always start out with what are your needs, and then you go out and try to recruit your needs. Eventually, to answer your question, though, you do come down to a certain point in the recruiting process where you say, okay, you know, we didn't necessarily meet that need, but that guy is just too darn good to pass up, and you go ahead and take a football player. Mm-hmm. And if he's a football player that can run, then you can't lose by recruiting speed. You never lose by recruiting speed.
Darryl, we'll let you out of here with this. Okay. Now you get ready for spring ball. Everybody always wants to know, what's the quarterback situation like? We really didn't talk about a quarterback here in the class. You've got some guys that are currently on your roster. If everybody can stay healthy, what are we looking at?
Well, we expect to sign a junior college transfer quarterback here in the middle of this month. As soon as we can get him on campus, we expect to do that. We expect to sign another offensive tackle that played at a Division I football program here, hopefully later this week. So, you know, we'll just wait and see how it works. But the quarterback situation, you know, Bronson Marsh would be number one on the depth chart right now. But Bronson Marsh is going to fight. He's going to have to fight off everybody, all comers, and, you know, and just kind of see where it ends. And we've recruited some high school kids. But I think if we bring in the junior college transfer and then sprinkle in a couple high school kids, Steve Worthing is a good football player. You know, I'm in Elkhorn South. We had him in camp. He's athletic. He can throw. He can run. He can jump. So, you know, Kurt Beam from Burke also can throw the football and run. So we feel like our quarterback situation is getting better in terms of depth. We had Kellen Woodyard last year, who was a redshirt, who's an extremely athletic kid out of Florida. We're going to turn Kellen into a wide receiver and add even more athleticism to that particular position. So making some moves at the quarterback spot.
All right, Darryl, we'll let you get back to work and go find some more fax papers. Maybe grab some lunch here.
I might do that. Thanks, guys.
Darryl Morris,
Darryl, head coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as recruiting rolls along here on National Letter of Intent Signing Day. They have got a bushel basket full. I didn't count them all up, but it looks like it's over 30 right now and trying to address needs. But how many times did we hear the word speed, Randy?
I didn't count him. I can't count that fast because that's obviously a very, very important element. And he's absolutely right. I mean, you take a look at when programs make that difference. Usually it's not because they outmuscle you. It's usually because they outrun you.
Well, and we'll find out more about that here in just a moment because we get a chance to chat with both the offensive and defensive coordinators here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And I know that defensive coordinator segment will probably be very short on the program today. So Andy Siegel is with us here to talk more about the recruits. We're live at Cunningham's. We invite you to come down. We're here until 1 o'clock today for our first football signing party with the Lopers. And a good crowd, great crowd on hand here today, but come on down, join us for some lunch and hear your Loper football questions answered. And Andy, a lot of credit Coach gave you for finding some Florida kids.
I appreciate that. We went down there and did a pretty good job.
He mentioned, and we were talking about it here, the word speed came up a lot. And it's not just offense at one speed, defense one speed, everybody wants speed. But give me your thoughts on the speed that you guys think that you recruited here.
Yeah, you know, when we evaluated what our problems were this year, one of the big things was the other teams are faster than us. So I think we addressed that right off the shoot with Cody Saul, the wide receiver from Mesa. I mean, he's 6'3", he's 195 pounds, can run, he's dynamic, he's a playmaker, and he changes the game fast. Nakari Jones, the other wide receiver out of Lakeland, Florida, Victory Christian High School, he was a first-team All-State pick, led his team to the state championship game, extremely fast, another bigger guy, too, at 6'1", 185 pounds. And then the running backs are all fast guys. You know, Luke Quinn, Logan Geyer. I was recruiting at Ralston High School, watching their game, listening to the radio of Burke play, and the guy kept talking about Logan Geyer, 2 minutes in the game, already has like 150 yards rushing. And I said, who is this guy? Well, I'm glad he's on our team because that's a guy that changes the field and does things. Even the linemen are fast. Matt Dietz has got some feet, that big offensive lineman from Lincoln. Chance Redmond, the offensive lineman from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, can run. So it's exciting. And then, you know, big, massive Ryan Holloway from Southern Miss / East Mississippi. You know, I had the blessing of coaching him at both places. He's 6'7", 350 pounds and can run. So there's guys that are big guys that can run, and that's the exciting part.
Andy, the big guys, sometimes you need them to get a little bit bigger. I mean, there's a huge difference between a 22-year-old man out there and an 18-year-old senior that's playing football. But fast is fast.
Yes.
Do you think some of those skill position guys might see a fair amount of time this fall?
And that's something we talked about. You know, at running back, there's not as big a learning curve making that transition from high school to college. Yes, they've got to learn to block. Yes, they've got to learn to run some pass routes. But if you can run, you can run. And like you just said, you're fast, you're fast. We're going to get those guys on the field and see if we can't change the dynamic of the game quick.
We're talking with Loper offensive coordinator Andy Siegel, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here on ESPN Radio and the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, we'll get back to some of the kids here in a moment, but some coaches, as we hear at all levels, but especially at the Division I level, well, we need a recruiter. Yeah, he's a coach, but he's a recruiter. And then you've got coaches that go, I'm not a big fan of recruiting. It sounds like you don't have a problem with that, and you don't mind going out and finding some of these kids. Just kind of talk about that part, coaching versus recruiting. It seems like it's two totally different jobs.
It is, and I know, like, when I was at Southern Miss on Coach Fedora's staff, we had guys who were awesome teachers on the field. I don't know if they were the great recruiters. We had some guys who were awesome recruiters, were a little bit lesser teacher on the field, and a lot of those Division I schools kind of do that. I was taught at an early age that if you want to make it in this business, your last name isn't Spurrier, Holtz, Bowden, or Osborne. You better be a tremendous recruiter, number one. I didn't play Division I, so I also had to be a great teacher on the field, and I felt like if I could do both of those things, I'd be able to move up, and that's kind of been my thing, that when football season ends, I try to go 150 miles per hour in recruiting and try to outdo everybody. And I try to recruit with a little chip on my shoulder. It's kind of like, hey, you know, when I played college ball, I was a 5'10 slow linebacker, so I had a chip on my shoulder. When I recruit, I've always felt like, okay, I didn't have my last name Spurrier or Holt, so I'm going to out-recruit everybody. And I don't like to just go against the teams in our conference. I try to beat the guys at a higher level. And some of these guys we've gotten, we've beaten bigger schools on. And I feel part of it is just if you're straight up, you work hard, dot every I, cross every T, and get after it, you can do it. And then there's some coaches, I've heard him say, Mike Leach, you know, we're good friends, and he always talks about he hates recruiting. He told me point blank. He said, if I didn't have to recruit, I wouldn't do it, but it's part of the thing, I've got to do it. And I remember having a great debate with him, and I said, I'd rather recruit than sit and watch film all day long. I said, if you've got a great football player, you can teach them how to get on the field and do that. And we went back and forth and just kind of laughed about that. And I've still done that. You know, I understand you've got to be prepared, and I do prepare myself football-wise. But when it's recruiting season, let's roll the sleeves up and get after it.
Andy, we talk about the speed, but for them to get out in the open, you got to have some pretty good offensive linemen to make that happen.
Absolutely.
How do you really kind of see how you guys were able to recruit offensive linemen?
You know, the big thing with our offensive line is we did have a lot of guys returning. You know, we've got arguably probably the best offensive line in the MIAA. So what we were looking at is let's get some young guys recruited in that can learn from the old guys and then get in there in a year or two and be able to contribute. You know, and Matt Dietz is just what you're looking for. The guy's a boxer and an offensive lineman. I mean, what else
footwork
do you want, right? The great footwork, hand-eye coordination, and got a mean streak. Chance Redmond, you're watching him on film, and I'm like, okay, he's undersized. He's 6 foot. He's road grading the best players in Alabama, just straight road grading him. So that got us excited. Then Holloway, I mean, he's 6'7", he's 345 pounds, two-star rivals recruit, was at Southern Miss, had some family issues, and now we've got a chance to get them. Those are big guys that can change the dynamics. And I know Croc's got a couple of guys he's going to talk about on defense that are big guys that can really change the game.
Last minute here with Andy Siegel. He's our offensive coordinator at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. What are you still looking at? As we always know, there's some guys that are still maybe wavering, hoping that they can go D1 or 1A, and it doesn't happen for them. What are you still looking at here over the next couple of weeks?
You know, we're still looking. There's an older offensive lineman we're talking to. We're still trying to look in the junior college ranks for maybe a running back, just an older guy. Because you look at our running back position, we've got some good young guys. You know, we've got Romero, we've got Daniel DeShazer, but there is no other players that play running back in our program. With the freshman we got coming in, you know, and the Hasty kid's a big, powerful guy, Melcorn, so that's going to help. But it'd be nice to have an older guy because there's a hole right in the middle there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're looking at. And, you know, and me being greedy, I don't know if he's going to let me, but I'd like to take about two more receivers. But the one good thing is I'm not saying quarterback, because I think these freshman quarterbacks are going to be outstanding with Bronson.
What about the numbers, just the sheer volume? You're a little bit more – have a little bit more flexibility at the non-Division One level as far as the numbers you can bring in.
Right.
How do you balance that, numbers versus quality maybe?
Well, the first thing that Coach said is we're going to sit down with what are our immediate needs, and we prioritize those. Try to fill those first, and then from there you go with what you got left. There's, you know, quite a few walk-on kids in this year's class, probably more than there was last year, but these are guys that we brought in to walk-on because we feel like they're scholarship players. We just don't have the money for it because we've got to fill our emergency needs first. So that's what we're doing.
Is the team going to change what you guys do, or do you recruit exactly this type of offense that you like to run, or will that change because of the talent you brought in?
Well, we haven't really ran the offense I like to run because I haven't had a quarterback last about two games yet.
Yeah,
so we haven't really seen. I mean, Emporia State was a good example of kind of what we like to do offensively. We want to spread the field. We want to make you defend the quarterback, the running back, the receiver. We want to spread you sideline to sideline and be able to throw the football. I think with the guys we recruited, with the great guys we got coming back, and we're young. I mean, Luke's a freshman. He started every game for us. He's coming back. So we've got some guys that can really do what we want to do offensively. These guys fit the needs that we want to do offensively with the recruits.
Andy, a pleasure chatting with you again here. We'll get Croc in and talk a little bit about the defensive side of the football, but it looks like it's a good class. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
Andy, thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Guys.
That's the offensive coordinator of your UNK Lopers, Andy Siegel. We'll come back, talk defense with Bob Crocker. We're also going to throw in a little wrestling and track. We'll take a look at what's going on at Hastings College and maybe a final update of the Huskers. We got all that to do in the next 35 minutes or so, so stay with us. We're live at Cunningham's. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here with you on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Listen closely. This could be the greatest value in all of fooddom, and it's so big you can't ignore it. Right now, KFC has $5 fill-ups. You can get completely filled up for only $5. And there are five, yes, five different $5 fill-ups to choose from, like a two-piece chicken combo, mashed potatoes, gravy, biscuit, cookie, and a drink. Are you truly hungry for a $5 fill-up? Then come to KFC, put your $5 bill on the counter, and say, yes, I'm truly empty. Choose a KFC $5 fill-up, then eat and enjoy only at KFC. Go to KFC in Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island. Tax extra.
What you want is a quick connection to the World Wide Web, not get tangled up in it. And that's why you want Prairie iNet. Fast, wireless internet all across central Nebraska, rural areas and cities alike for as little as $29.95 a month. You don't get tangled up in a bundle either. Plus, customer service handled live and local. Cut the cable, cut the cord, call Prairie iNet at 800-527-2404. 800-527-2404. Or log on to prairieinet.com. High-speed internet for the rest of us.
For four big days at Gary Michaels Clothiers, get 50% off the entire stock of the current season's men's and ladies' wear. Wednesday through Saturday, save 50% on suits, sports coats, sportswear, shoes, dress shirts, neckwear, and trousers. It's all from the very best, like Hart, Schaffner & Marks, Jack Victor, Calvin Klein, Cutter & Buck, St. Croix, Enro, Forsyth, Tommy Bahama, and many more. Plus, you can get half off select Brighton jewelry. It's Wednesday through Saturday only at Gary Michaels Clothiers of downtown Hastings.
And now on the bricks in downtown Kearney.
More high school hoops comes your way this weekend on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Here on ESPN, it's the Fort Kearney Conference Tournament. The girls' semifinals Thursday as Pleasanton takes on Elm Creek and Overton battles Amherst. The boys' semifinals Friday, the championship Saturday. The Lou Platt Conference is on Classic Hits 98.9. Ravenna will host the Wood River girls and Kearney Catholic boys Thursday with the semifinals Friday and championship Saturday. And Thursday on the Breeze 94.5, St. Cecilia is at Grand Island Central Catholic.
Bruning Davenport Unified Schools salute our Bruning Davenport students who are top of their class in English, social studies, history, FFA, and all academic areas. The students have the drive and determination to do well in all competitions this week. Bruning Davenport Unified Schools and the communities it serves. Orchland Farm and Home proudly salutes the dedicated Smith Center students who participate in the many types of academics, such as National Honor Society, FFA, Scholars Bowl, Art Club, music, and more. Good luck in your events this week. Orchland Farm and Home in Smith Center has the answers and low prices down every aisle.
This is Bill Williams with Patriotic Productions, and we are organizing the final Korean War honor flight, which is going to be on March 25th, and we need some help sending these veterans out to D.C. to see their memorial.
For $500, you can adopt a vet and help the stations of Platte River Radio send our local veterans to Washington, D.C. Log on to patrioticproductions.org or any of our station's websites for more information.
The Korean War is called the Forgotten War, but not in Nebraska.
And the Doug and Daddy Show rolls on here at Cunningham's on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're on the bricks at Cunningham's, and glad you're along with us for our first football signing day luncheon with the UNK Lopers. And we talked basketball last hour. We're going to talk a little wrestling and track at the end of the show, but this last 40 minutes has been all about Loper football, and we'll get back to Huskers and Hastings College as well. But we've talked to Coach Daryl Morris. We've talked to the offensive coordinator, Andy Siegel, and Randy, the defense. I know Coach Crocker wants to find a way to be able to run down some of these fast receivers in the MIAA.
Again, we've been hearing about speed when we've been talking about everybody, and I think one of the probably the most noteworthy, probably the best resume of any of the kids that UNK signed is going to be on the defensive side of the football.
Well, we hope so. We don't have the same numbers as the offense, but we feel like we've improved ourselves a great deal. We've signed some good kids. We're still working, though. We're probably looking at still two or three more corners and then a safety. So, yeah, you're right, though. We've got to eliminate the big plays, and we got to do that with some bigger, faster type players on the defense.
Bob, when the coaches, especially Coach Siegel, he says, you know, we sit down and we prioritize our needs. Was that at the top of the list?
No question. And that's, it is a speed league. And we were decent in the secondary last year, but we got banged up and got hurt. And certain games, we were giving up big chunks of yards and touchdowns when we didn't really need to be. But that's obviously a point of emphasis. And I think that all three phases, this is an outstanding class. You asked me if it's the best one. I think it could be. But we'll see about that.
Potential. There's a lot of potential, Randy.
Bob, I guess the guy that we look at more than anybody else that probably has that potential. I mean, the strongest resume.
Sure.
And you hate to kind of elevate anybody over anybody else in the class. But Landon Tuomaselli, you take a look at his stature, his resume. That's a pretty good get for UNK.
It's a great get. He's 6'4", about 280. Committed to signed at Oregon State, but academically wasn't able to do it. I think he was a four-star from Rivals out of high school. His brother his brother plays here, and his brother is outstanding. And from what I've been told, Lyndon's better because he's two or three years older. But between the two of them, if it works out, they're very good. Lyndon was a first-team All-American for the junior college. And, Andy Siegel did a great job, found out about those guys through his connections in Alaska. And we're tickled if it works out where they end up being what we think they can be.
We're talking with Bob Crocker here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's UNK's defensive coordinator. I see that he's not the only Alaska connection that you've got. You've got a couple of good defensive ends that it looks like you've signed as well.
Yeah, we got another kid, Tavita Fahoko, who's more of an inside player. 6'2", 280, probably not an end, but All-State in Alaska, a physical player, active, looked good on tape. Also wrestles, which helps on the defensive side. The guys I've had that are good wrestlers in the past have been good football players because they end up being usually better tacklers.
We run into that a little bit. I mean, is it kind of becoming a thing where UNK, you might have some – football players that wrestle and wrestlers that'll play football for you as well?
Yeah, it might be, but that's up to Daryl and Mark Bauer worked that out, and they and both guys are great about that. I've been at places where they're not quite as cordial, but they work it out great, and the kids that are doing both, Romero and Dapp, are great kids, and they've shown that they can do both.
Let's talk about a couple of the area kids I see on the notes there, and we talked a little bit about it with Daryl. We've always had kids, whether it's 8-man or 11-man from around here, step up and play some crucial minutes, and we joked about a couple of them were here at today's luncheon. But Jake Bartling is an outstanding athlete in everything that he has done, whether it's basketball, track, or football. And just your thoughts on the Elm Creek kid.
Oh, I think that's great. I think he's a sleeper. A good player, good athlete. I think he's going to keep getting bigger. I know they wanted him as a tight end. We wanted him as a defensive end. And I think he can grow to be maybe inside of a three technique. Obviously, the Fort Kearney Conference has been very important to us in our success. And we haven't had one the last couple of years, but getting Jake in there is a big get for us, yeah.
Talk about defensive line a little bit, yeah, because there's so much speed in the league that if you have a quarterback that has time to throw the football, you're in pretty big trouble. So putting pressure on the quarterback, defensive line, where you guys, how you feel this class was?
Excellent. We got six guys. You know, we're really young in the D-line. I mean, we got a couple seniors. It goes all the way down to there's a big gap. We have about four guys that redshirted this year that we felt could have played and played very well. You throw in these guys and, you know, with Lyndon, Jamie Juice, you know, talked about Jake Bartling. But we got two or three other guys that really on film can help us out a lot in the future.
Kronk, we didn't specifically talk special teams with any of the coaches so far, but I know a couple kickers are coming in. What can you tell us about that part of the football team?
Well, Stephen Wentling from Grand Island has got a great leg. We think that he's going to make a run for the spot. Obviously, a kicker is the best guy wins.
Yeah.
And then Dakota Falk is a quarterback receiver. You guys know about him. He's a Shrine Bowl kid from Holdridge.
Mm-hmm.
That he'll have an opportunity to punt and kick, and he showed that he could do that as well. So both those guys will help us.
As we get ready for spring ball, what's the first thing you're going to be looking for out of the kids that you currently have? What are you going to be looking for in spring ball?
Well, just how they progressed over the course of the year. Some of them, especially those young guys, to see what they've picked up defensively, because there's going to be a bunch of guys that redshirted this last year that are going to be in the mix, and to see how they're doing in terms of offense, you know, knowing what they're doing, so to speak, and see how they do academically as well.
One more question before we let you go. Brodeen and Gooden, success in the NFL. I know that that's something that you don't sweep under the rug when it's recruiting time.
No, we use it as much as we possibly can, and both those guys have been great about helping out when needed. You know, they're proud of the program, and we're tickled what they're doing. And Arthur Hobbs has done the same thing in the CFL. But, yeah, we use that because it catches the attention of those kids. And there's a bunch of different things. This Under Armour deal that Paul Plinsky has ramrodded, and that's – you'd be surprised. Well, you guys know the kids love it.
Yeah.
And it is an exciting time here. There's a lot of energy within the last 3 or 4 or 5 months, and I'm excited about it. I know our players are. They're working real hard. I'm sure Daryl mentioned that when he was up here. But, you know, he's happy about the work that we've done and as far as the players, and I think we're set for good times.
All right, Kronk.
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks for giving us some time. Always good to see you.
Oh, thanks. I'd like to wish the basketball teams good luck tonight, wrestling teams, and all that, everybody else who's competing this weekend.
All right. Thanks, Kronk.
Okay, thanks. Thanks,
great Bob. Fraternity of coaches here at UNK, and a lot going on. Bob Crocker, defensive coordinator for the UNK Lopers. When we come back, we're going to give you a refresh on what's going on for the Lopers, the Broncos, and the Huskers, and we're going to talk a little wrestling with Mark Bauer. Brady Bonsall slides in to talk a little track. Charlie Foster's this weekend. We'll take a break here from Cunningham's on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The Winter Price Meltdown is going on now at Plum Creek Motors in Lexington. You can save some cold, hard cash with some of the hottest deals around on a huge selection of new Chevrolets and Buicks. As always, Plum Creek Motors Used Car Supercenter has 200 quality pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs priced for every budget. Check out the savings on the hardworking 2014 Silverado 4x4s, starting at just $25,900. Want to save some cash at the pump? You can drive home the 40-mile-per-gallon Chevy Cruze for just $195 per month. And check out Buick's 30-mile-per-gallon SUV, the new Encore. The prices are melting, and the selection is outstanding at the Winter Price Meltdown. Going on now at Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, where everybody gets a great deal and a great deal more.
$195 per month, 39-month lease with $1,000 down and approved credit.
The Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling along here with a two-hour-plus edition from Cunningham's. Great crowd on hand. Still plenty of room for you to come in, meet the Lopers, talk to the coaches, grab some lunch, and get ready for Beat Hayes tonight with basketball. So that's at 5:30 and 7:30. It's National Letter of Intent signing day. We just finished up talking to the coaches. I mean, you got Yusuf working. I mean, if Yusuf is delivering food, you know it's a good day.
That's how busy we are.
He's actually maybe bringing the food over to Coach Bauer. I don't know. That'll be interesting for him to eat and talk on the show at the same time. But whatever it takes, Coach Mark Bauer to talk a little wrestling. As they've got a couple of home duels this week with Central Missouri and Neumann University coming in. But they pitched the shutout in their last duel. That means they are at 100% perfection. Coach Bauer.
Well, we're getting there. No, it is coming together right now. But, you know, pitching a shutout against Truman State, they had a couple of individuals that weren't in their lineup. But a couple long road trips for us. And really during an important part of the season, because we want to really challenge the guys during that time. And obviously going into Lindenwood, had a couple upsets in our lineup that really kind of changed the momentum of the duel. But our guys really came together and finished the trip undefeated, which was great for the guys. But now it's nice. We're at home. We're back in a routine again. We're looking forward to this weekend. We've got a whole nother week, and then the following weekend down in Hayes, the MIAA championship. So we're kind of this is our sprint. It's time to take off. So we're looking forward to it.
And again, it's not where you start; it's rather where you finish. New kind of banged up a little bit. A couple of the football players took them a little bit of time to kind of get into wrestling shape, even if they hadn't have been banged up and everything like that. How is that coming in terms of getting everybody where you want them to be?
You know, it's really just taking some extra time, extra practices for these guys because, you know, wrestling is a very anaerobic sport where without oxygen, it's just short little bursts of go, 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 go. And that's what we've been doing with these guys that have lost that edge or didn't have that edge because of football. We've had to do some extra workouts with them to get them caught back up again. And just being smart about it, being smart about the training. We didn't want to throw them out too early because, again, we don't want to get them hurt. We don't want to get them injured. But it's just starting to come. Every match, match by match by match, we're seeing the intensity pick up. We're seeing their ability to, you know, sustain longer through the periods and longer goes. And so, really, it's coming the way we want it to right now.
I want to ask you about one of these guys who we had on our show for a different reason in December and has a unique story and is just crazy, and that's your heavyweight, Kelsey Empting. He's not a 21-year-old heavyweight. He fights bulls, and now he's fighting 280-pound college seniors out there. But he's been in a lot of tight matches. I've seen, I didn't reference the last couple of matches here for him, but just tell me about his road and what he could mean down the road scoring points.
Well, everybody and their ability to score points is huge when it comes to our regional championships and obviously the national championship. Kelsey, yes, not your typical 21-year-old kid. He's 28 years old, actually, and he was an All-American for us in 2007. You know, here's the deal. We're in a situation where we had an incoming freshman coming out of Texas, a very talented young man. He's not ready for this level yet. We got him in, and we were sitting in our office early November going, man, you know, we're scratching our heads thinking, what are we going to do here? And my son, my oldest son, Ryan, and Dalton Jensen were sitting in the office, and they're just kind of like, you know, what about Kelsey Empting? And we knew Kelsey a couple years ago talking to him that he had a semester of eligibility left. We got him the two-year non-participation waiver through the NCAA. Jamie Lundgren helped us with that. And he's got this year left, or this semester left. We've got him back in and going again. But he's wrestling like a 28-year-old guy that has not been on the mat for the past, you know, 7 years. So it's been a challenge. It's been a struggle. Also, He was a 197 pounder when he wrestled for us. He weighs 260 now. And so, again, it's almost like teaching him to understand the mindset of how a heavyweight wrestles. But yet, at the same token, we don't want him to get rid of his quickness, because a lot of heavyweights just want to get in there and kind of pummel and grapple around and not do a whole lot. And it's like, Kelsey, you can't wrestle their style. You've got to wrestle your style. It's coming. And him especially, it's literally match by match by match, because I don't have anybody in the room that can push him. I mean, he's 260. This freshman can't push him. And so it's really – the more mat time we can give this kid, the better it's, you know, the more and more it's coming. It's still a work in progress. We're not where we want to be. He knows that. But it's much better this week than it was the week before that. And it's just getting better and better. We're hoping, you know, with our conditioning, what we're doing with him, that he's going to be able to pull through and win some matches for us, both at the MIAA championships, regionals, and hopefully get him to nationals, because he's kind of on that bubble. He's kind of the 5'6 guy right now. Top five qualify for nationals, so we'd love to get him in there.
You have a couple of home duels coming up here in the near future, and then the MIAA tournament coming up here just right around the corner. Where do you kind of see the MIAA race?
You know, it's a little bit better this year than last year. I don't know if you recall last year, I think UCO won five weights and we won five weights, and the difference in the point total was that we had more pins and more major decisions, and high, so we won basically the tournament by that margin. However, this year, Lindenwood, Central Missouri, there's some schools that have some individuals that are going to figure in the mix of things. And so, you know, it's not going to be us in Central Oklahoma. We got a couple, you know, Hayes, very good team this year, even though we, you know, handled them pretty easily in our duel. Lindenwood, we just pulled one out there, you know, a couple upsets kind of set us back a little bit. But again, it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge for us this year in the MIAA, which is a good thing. Again, the MIAA, all these teams are in the same region. Our region by far this year is the toughest region in the nation. And so we want to do well at the MIAAs, because it's going to help us with seeding purposes when we get to the regional tournament.
And our last moment here with the wrestling coach, Mark Bauer. Not only is the wrestling here, again, on paper, you're going to be the heavy favorite, but there is a nice on-the-mat type of situation. It's not non-wrestling, but you've got a national banner to present this year, or this weekend.
Yes, Friday evening, and Sean Fairbanks and our athletic director, Paul Polinsky, have graciously you know, put some national championship banners in the Health and Sports Center. They're going to unveil the 2013 national championship banner. And we've got a lot set up, and it's going to be an exciting atmosphere. We've got a lot of kids' clubs, high school clubs, sororities, fraternities, and so it's going to be a great atmosphere. We are wrestling Central Missouri that evening. They have probably the most exciting matchup for us is going to be at 149. They've got the number one ranked wrestler in the nation against our new kid that's coming in, Destin McCauley from Lincoln. And so we're excited about that matchup and just seeing where he stacks up in terms of things. But it's going to be fun. Following night, Saturday evening, we have Newman University at home. These are both very win, you know, we should do well in these matches. But again, we would love to give them a big goose egg, just like we did with Truman State. So I do appreciate you guys letting us be here. Mr. Bushcutter, we have something here for what you would like to give you. And, you know, we know you're beyond city councilman. You're almost a senator now. Isn't that correct?
I can't afford to do that job.
Okay. But last year when you presented the keys to the city with Mayor Stan Klaus, and we got this picture for you to hang somewhere. So
hey,
we appreciate
it.
Appreciate the honor for us.
I'm glad I wore a tie that day.
You cleaned up well.
Yeah, I cleaned up all right.
Very well,
very
well.
That's very kind of you. Thank
awesome.
You very much. That is neat.
Tell you what, find me who photoshopped that. I got some work for him to do. Mark, we'll let you get back to work.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Buddy. Take care. Always a pleasure talking with Loper Wrestling Coach Mark Bauer, defending national champions. And again, one of the reasons to go out and watch some great wrestling is the unveiling of the banner on Friday. Andy from Midway is going to join us here in just a second. But, Randy, pretty cool.
That is very cool. It's easy to find the old guys. You know, that gray hair kind of pops out. Let me just say that. It kind of pops up there.
Well, it's not all over yet. There is a lot going on. We'll talk with Coach Brady Bonzel here in just a moment. Plus, don't forget Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up this afternoon. We'll have that for you at 2:30 here on ESPN Radio, as it looks like their whole class is done. Plus, we want to give you a little bit of what's going on with Hastings College. We have a list of kids that they have signed as well for Coach Harper. But right now, Andy from Midway set to join us, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk with Brady Bonzel.
Well, we hauled him in from moving all the cars and trucks around, trying to get the lot all cleaned up from our first big snowstorm of the year, or second or tenth or whatever it is. And I know he wanted to get in anyway because it's letter of intent signing day, Andy, for Midway. I know you didn't get to sign any letters of intent today. I mean, you signed yours back in the day.
Yeah, I don't – you know, I think I signed my student loans, that's for darn sure. But, no, I got a little bit of juice from Doan, but you know, when I got an $8,000 scholarship, I thought it was a big deal until I found out it was $23,000 a year. So that's a little bit misleading. But it's a great education. I wish I would have finished. But
well, now let's educate the folks on what we've got going on at the Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. I know folks kind of want to look maybe online today at thinkmidway.com. Let things settle down. But let's give them something to talk about. We've got Truck Month at the Chrysler dealership today and this month.
Yeah.
The whole month.
Chrysler is really pumping. We were actually able to be the 2013 and 2014 Motor Trend Light Duty Truck of the Year with the Ram 1500. That's unprecedented. They've never had a light duty truck win it back-to-back years. And one of the bigger reasons is, too, and you know, and we can talk about it on the radio because we also have that manufacturer, but a lot of people were expecting the new 14 Silverado to go ahead and take the cake on that one. And they made a great product. And, you know, it's getting rave reviews. It's got Truck of the Year from a couple different publications, but Motor Trend, they stuck with it. So it's the 2013 and 2014 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. And what it is they have Truck Month going on down at the Chrysler store. They actually have owner loyalty. If you currently own a Dodge Ram, a Dodge Dakota, or a Ram product, you're going to qualify for an extra $1,000 of owner loyalty on a new 2013 or 2014 Ram truck. Now, the nice part about that is there is a ton of other incentives and everything that's going on with this month. I know that we actually have some people qualifying for up to $5,000 in incentives currently right now on some of these Ram trucks that are out there. And that's not 2013s. That's the new 2014 product that's already out there, that's already on the ground. And the reason is that Ram and Chrysler have figured out that the best form of marketing is just get people in their product, get people driving around in them, have them singing praises, and that's really how you can set yourself apart from the rest of the competition. But I know with the snow out here, we're going to have a lot of activity on the Jeep product. Got the new Jeep Cherokee. It's out there in full effect out there at the Midway store down at the Chrysler location. Also still have the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the Jeep Patriot. Just a lot of great product, the Jeep Compass. And the nice part is about owning a Jeep vehicle is they were the first ones to really go ahead and start that 4x4 system. They're the first ones to invent that. And I currently own a Jeep Grand Cherokee 2014. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing better than getting around in any sort of condition. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't stop there. There's a lot of the great incentives. Chrysler 200s, here is the deal of the century. Right now, when you finance through Chrysler Capital, there's up to $5,000 in incentives on 2014 Chrysler 200s. Folks, it's absolutely ridiculous. You're talking about $5,000 off the sticker of a $23,000, $24,000 vehicle. Makes it really affordable, really accessible to get into it. We have a lot of people, because of the juice that's on the hood of these vehicles, they never thought they'd be able to get into a new vehicle. But with the $5,000 that the manufacturer's kicking in when you finance with Chrysler, it's allowing a lot of people to go ahead and get into a brand new vehicle, extremely affordable, lots of great warranty. There's a lot of perks. It's amazing. I always tell everybody this, you know. In February, it's not supposed to be the greatest sales year of the month, and the manufacturers know that. So they get pretty stupid. They get pretty aggressive. And I'll tell you what, if you can go ahead and brave the cold, brave the snow, get on out there to Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're going to find some great deals. The manufacturers are going to make it worth your while to get on down there. So come see Jaden Roberts, Chad Randles, the whole gang down at Midway Chrysler. I'm going to be down there too. Come challenge us to get you a great deal on a brand new car or one of our great Midway certified pre-owned vehicles, and we'll be waiting for you.
Andy, always great to see you. Stay safe.
I'm going to try.
We're going to find out tomorrow what he thinks of the recruiting class. It is our Cunningham special today. We've got more on National Letter of Intent Signing Day coming up after this. Andy from Midway, go see him or go online at thinkmidway.com. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue. Kearney, we'll be back after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Doug and Daddy Show, wind it down on this Wednesday. Our Loper Link all 2 hours long, live from Cunningham's. But just because we're winding down doesn't mean that you have to. Maybe you can wind down by coming into Cunningham's and enjoying one of their big-ass beers or a well special happy hours from 3 to 6. Maybe you're going to get a late lunch like Randy and I are going to do after the show here today. So we're looking forward to going about that as well. You can get pizza. You can get salad. You can get their great burgers. There's just about anything. The appetizers are meals in itself from time to time. We just finished talking with Mark Bauer about wrestling. Nebraska wrestler James Green is one of the six wrestlers named as a front runner for the Win Magazine Culture House Dan Hodge Trophy, which goes to the best wrestler in the country. So he's in the top six, and that is a heck of an honor. I mean, if they whittled down the Heisman to a six this early in the season, you'd really be in a heck of a spot. But it is National Letter of Intent signing day, and a lot of things are going on outside of football, and we're kind of wrapping up our UNK coverage because we got him out of class today, Brady Bonzel, cross-country and track coach. How was that? Was a lot of kids come to class today on a day like this?
I think everybody was there today. Oh, I take that back. There was one that emailed me. Had the flu, I guess.
Well, of course. Class last night.
I had the flu a lot in college myself, especially after not having night class the night before.
We got the Charlie Foster Classic. Let's start there, then we'll kind of backtrack a little bit. But Charlie Foster Classic, big home event for you this weekend.
Yeah, we'll have five or six other teams coming in. We always look forward to having a home. You know, in our venue, it's probably better for field events than it is on the track, at least the things were around the track where it's a smaller one, but it's a great field event venue. And really all of our athletes, anybody competing at home, whether it's, you know, the middle distance runner or 400 runner, as opposed to the field event people, they all like that opportunity to be at home and, you know, their friends walk across campus and see them. And it's one time that they don't have to get on the bus and go somewhere.
And you guys had a lot of success when you did get on the bus out at Seward, the Concordia Classic. You guys had a great meet.
Yeah, the third meet of the year for us is usually the meet where things start to look better. I mean, previous to that, I think our good athletes had looked really good, but it's more of our athletes that provide the depth. In a sense, our medium athletes needed to get a little bit better.
Where you get those points that you need.
Yeah, the conference-level score that's maybe not the national qualifier type, that's where you hope to start getting better about the third, fourth meet of the year, and we definitely saw that this last week.
Let's talk about a couple of the kids. You've got some new faces out there, some young faces that are doing some good things for you, maybe in some distance, maybe in the vault as well.
Yeah, you know, on the guys' side, Mark Seba, who's a junior, he's been with us now for 2.5 years, and then Jay Kilpatrick, who's in his first semester of vault in Forest. Both of them are formerly part of the UNL program. Jay actually competed for them at the conference meet a couple times earlier in his career. Mark actually got cut as a freshman there, and they may be regretting that now because he's doing really well and seated in the top 10 in Division II.
Mentioned some of the youngsters here. You got a couple of the gals that have been running and running and running, and then they get to the finish line, and their times are getting a little bit better.
Yeah, we're really happy with Stephanie Hutzel in particular. She's a junior from Loveland, has family ties in Nebraska. Her parents both grew up in Nebraska. I know she has an aunt and uncle that lives here in the area. She used to come to high school camps, you know, basketball and volleyball for Rick, and we probably back when we were recruiting her got here at UNK as opposed to her going to UNL, actually, just because of an opportunity to do both volleyball and track. And she's someone who we know has the opportunity to be a national qualifier. She just got on the national list, the provisional list, for the first time this last weekend. And it's just amazing how she was racing a gal from Northwest Missouri who's a two-time national qualifier. It was a great race. The gal from Northwest Missouri beats her by about a step, step and a half. Stephanie's 17th on the list with her time from that race, and the gal from Northwest Missouri is 8th on the national list with her time from that race. And so sometimes they look at the list and see, okay, I'm 9 spots out, or they see so much time. But to literally say, okay, that step you lost by, that's the difference between you being 17th on the national list and 8th on the national list. And so that makes it a lot more real for them.
You can really kind of see how fine of a line that really is.
Yeah.
Brady Land doing a great job long jumping. Yep. Had one of his best efforts in his career.
The nice thing about how Brady's season has gone so far, we've had four meets. We've had him long jump 3 times. he's improved his mark by about an inch and a half every time. But whether it had gone up or gone down a little bit, just the idea that he's gone out three times and been very consistent. You know, he's every time he goes out there, he's jumping roughly 23 mid, 23.4, 23.8, somewhere in that area. And that doesn't always happen in field events. They'll have really good days and they'll have not so really good days sometimes. And the fact that he's being that consistent, what that typically tells us is that there's a really big jump in there that just hasn't happened yet.
Talking with Loper Track Coach Brady Bonzel here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show here today. You've got conference coming up at the end of the month, but you'll also send some of your athletes to Lincoln for the big Frank Savine invite this weekend?
Yes, primarily in the 5,000 meters, but also the 800 with Paul Pape and Marissa Bongers. For them, you know, Paul still probably needs to run a little bit faster to get qualified. Marissa should be in good shape, but to see a level of competition, if not even a little higher potentially than what they'll see at the national meet, is really good for them. Hutzel is another one that's going for that reason. But then in the 5K, they only get one, maybe two opportunities to try to qualify. We've previously done that at Iowa State. But they're not letting any non-Division I schools into any of their meets this year, which I think will be interesting. I think the quality of their meet will go down significantly because they're doing that, but that's what's something that they've decided to do. So like for Al Sanabria this weekend, trying to get qualified in the 5K, this is his one big shot, because the conference meet will be another opportunity for him, but this might be the better of the two shots.
Brady, we've been talking a lot about recruiting.
Hasn't he been here 12 years?
he's on the Dane Toby plan. Yes. Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about recruiting. This is recruiting day for you,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. This is also our National Letter of Intent Day. And again, this is just the first day that a student can sign. We've got 13 or 14 letters of intent that we sent out here in the last few days. And a couple of them have come in this morning already. I know the football coaches are really, man, if they're not there by 7:30 in the morning, they're calling the kid and wondering if it's going to come in.
No problem.
I had a girl call me last night and say, hey, I was going to do the signing, but I just found out we're going to have a snow day. Can I do it tomorrow? Or the next day. And so they'll all come in now. We're here the next three or four days, and we'll have a press release at some point next week, hopefully.
Brady, anything else you want to touch on?
No, I just appreciate you guys doing this. I appreciate Cunningham's hosting something like this, and I think it's great for UNK. Go watch the men's basketball team tonight and the women's basketball team. Great time. You know, it's cold out. There's nothing else to do, so go watch basketball. Right.
All right. Hey, good luck this weekend. Charlie Foster coming up this weekend as well. Quick, the times on that?
Field events start at 11. I believe on the track we're starting at 12:30.
All right. See, I put him on the spot. Bang.
There you go.
Exactly.
Brady,
what it was.
Right there.
Thanks, Brady.
Okay, thanks.
Brady Bonzel joins us here as we wrap up our Loper Link portion of the day, which was basically the whole day, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Now, tomorrow on the show, we are going to try and catch up with Coach Tony Harper, and I'm going to get to that here to wrap things up with Hastings College. We're also going to talk with Sean Callahan of Husker Online to get his overview, and everything will be done tomorrow. For Nebraska, it's going to be done. Maybe something slides through the cracks, but one at the most is all you ever see come out of that. So we'll talk with Sean about that. Plus, we will also be catching up with Pete Roussel of CoachingSearch.com, see what he thinks about all that's happened here in the off season and how the recruiting class has played out as well.
And it's really interesting, just the change in technology, how you have that. I mean, you look on your mobile device, you listen to us. We have, you know, 2 hours of talking recruiting with all this other stuff, and Twitter, you know, people send out who they're sending it to. And you can actually contact some of those recruits. If you're thinking of tweeting somebody to criticize their choice, please just stop. Stop. Because this is such an important decision. You become Loper for life. That's kind of a theme that UNK Athletics has kind of had. That's a pretty important decision. And to think that you have input, that you have thoughts about whether a young man or young woman should be at one school versus another, trust me, you don't know them well enough to have that opinion. So just stop. Don't do it.
I'll guarantee you, if you're the person tweeting or emailing that, you never got to sign a national letter.
No, and you don't know what that process is like. You don't know how tough those decisions are. And to think that you have some sort of input that would be valuable to them, just stop.
Well, they're all signed up for Nebraska. UNK and Hastings will continue to get a few out there. Let's take a look at some of the Hastings College names that you might know. They've got some kids that have also been good in other sports. But you've got linebacker Travis Aga out of Gretna. I want to take a look at Anthony Cloyd. He's your quarterback out of Millard South High School. Zach Cook is a quarterback that went to Omaha Burke, had been at Morningside. He is going to come back down. Lincoln Southeast defensive lineman Cody Harris from a small school, Nebraska Lutheran. Wesley Jardine is a safety. Arapahoe's Tyler Kipp. A lot of people from around this area are going to know about the linebacker and Tyler Kipp. There's a really good one. Riley Levine, running back out of Norris. He is going to head to Hastings as well. Jonathan Plants, defensive back out of Omaha Scott, is headed there. His teammate is kicker and punter Mitch Swain. He's going to be coming to Hastings. And then Jonathan Thornton, he went to Central City. He's going to transfer in from Wayne State, a wide receiver, among some of the names that are going to Hastings College.
There's some pretty good football schools there. You know, again, I haven't seen the film on all these guys, but there's some pretty good football schools there. On the surface, it sounds like pretty good class.
Again, no earth-shattering news. Blake McLean switched his commit last night from Nebraska to South Carolina, but you weren't waiting on one of the Pete boys to sign today and pick somebody else. Also, Hastings College basketball, they're playing tonight. They're at Doan. You can hear it on 1230 KHAS. The Hastings women are fifth, and the Hastings men are 15th this week. Kearney High swept Hastings in basketball last night. We told you that the Twin Valley and Fort Kearney Conference boys quarterfinals are tonight. Again, a reminder that the Lou Platt has decided that their quarterfinals are tomorrow. Then they'll play all the semifinals in Ord Friday. Both girls' games, two different gyms at 4:30. And then the boys' games Friday night will be at 6:15 and 8. And Hastings College has a new girl, a women's soccer coach, and that is Chris Clements, coming from Avila University in Kansas City, where he was the men's and women's coach, and the women are coming off their best season ever down there. He takes over from Mark Jimenez, who went to Wyoming.
You know, those conference tournaments, that's a tough decision to make, whether or not you're going to take away that Wednesday. Schools like to stay away from that. Not a great decision to be made one way or the other, and you see two different conferences making two different decisions, and you can't say either one's right or wrong.
And our final note here is that this weekend's Loper softball at Metro, it's called off. I have not seen the official calling off of baseball. I know that Damon Day told us yesterday they're still trying to get that in. The temperatures might get up to 35, 37 degrees. They think they can get the field. They think they can get the field clear out at Mines. That's going to wrap things up on our extended Doug and Daddy show on this Tuesday. We'll get you to Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Rosillo here in just a moment. We want to thank Brian Bunsen of Big Red Report for joining us today to talk about the Huskers. We want to thank the basketball coaches Kevin Chaney and Tom Kropp at UNK, wrestling coach Mark Bauer, track coach Brady Bonzel, of course, the football crew, why we were here for this first football signing day luncheon at Cunningham's, head coach Daryl Morris, offensive coordinator Andy Siegel, defensive coordinator Bob Crocker. Don't forget, basketball everywhere. The Huskers are both on the road, and UNK is at home. Hastings is on the road. Beat Hayes tonight. Fort Hayes rolls in at 5:30 tomorrow. Pete Russell, CoachingSearch.com. Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Hastings coach Tony Harper. Randy, it was busy.
I got to find a white loafer shirt. I'm not sure I have one, but I got to find a white loafer shirt.
I don't know how that's possible that you wouldn't have.
I don't have that color. I got black. I got red. I got gold. I got, you know, a white one is hard to find.
For our producer engineer Jeff Babel and Randy Bushcutter, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks to all the loafers and Cunninghams for their hospitality. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.